Please join me in prayer. Almighty Father, how blessed we are on this morning to be able to join with the multitude of believers and heavenly hosts to worship you. We lift up those who are suffering throughout the world, Lord, both believers and non-believers, from the terrible train wreck in Philadelphia to the ongoing earthquakes in Nepal, to Christians who are being martyred for their faith and belief in you. But Lord, we also acknowledge your mercy, specifically the subsidence of Ebola in Liberia and the protection of those who served and have served and continue to serve so tirelessly in Western Africa. Lord, through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, every believer has the promise of true, eternal hope and salvation. And you do know us personally. We are not faceless to you. You do know us by name. For the seeker, you offer an invitation of openness, an open invitation of forgiveness of sin and redemption. For all have infinite worth to you. And while each of us, Lord, has distractions and pressures that draw our attention away from you, my prayer is that for each person today to be able to open up their heart and mind to the Holy Spirit and to relax into the comfort of our worship time together, the celebration of baby dedications, and to be able to rely on the truth of your words. We are also blessed to have Pastor Ray and the members of the Well Church with us today. In your Son's name, amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, and how applicable that is right now, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my words be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish what I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent. I'd like to introduce everyone to Ray, but I have to give you a little context, so how this relationship developed and so forth. I met Ray about a year ago at a barber shop in Palo Alto, the same one I've been going to for 8 years. And women, you don't have anything on us because we're creatures of habit. And I always go to the fourth chair and Ray's in the third. Well, Ron in the fourth chair was getting married over in Turkey, and I'd passed Ray for 8 years. And, you know, it's kind of, hi, how you doing? You know, guy talk real deep, right? And so Ray cut my hair, and he had a Marine Corps symbol up on his barber's license. And so when we sat down, I said, so tell me about that. You know, just kind of a question, right? And what Ray began to describe, not only that time while he was cutting my hair, in one spot pretty short, but was his story, his story of redemption and salvation in the Lord. And so that began a relationship, and Andy joined us for coffee, and I went to Ray's church last summer, and Ray came and worshiped with us here. And we had the privilege, a group of us, going down to the Well Church just for service Sunday a few weeks ago, and just a deepening of relationship. And it just started with a question. It was my question, but it was really, I think, the Spirit wanting to open that up. So I'm blessed to be able to call Ray a brother in Christ and really just give him a warm welcome this morning. Thank you. Hey, brother.
Thank you. Hey. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad to be here. Bill told me I had 2 hours. He says, you can preach as long as you want, as long as you're done in a half hour. God is so good. You know, it's amazing where God brings us. He takes us places where we wouldn't even have thought. Bill did pass me several times, and I was reading my Bible, and it was just one of those things that God put in our hands. And it's funny because the title of this message that I brought to you that I feel that God has called me to bring to you is, Who's Your Neighbor? And my daughter was saying, it sounds like you got the saying from one of the kids on the street, like, Who's Your Daddy? No, it's not that title. It's Who's Your Neighbor? Who is your neighbor? We're a church on the east side of San Jose, and we never call it bad. We just say it's a little spicy. It's a little spicy. I'm honored to have my associate pastor, Pastor Carlos Amarillas, and his wife, Regina. Can you stand a little bit there? And my lovely wife of 40 years. Well, it's going to be 40 years. Terry, you stand? She's going to hate me. Come on, baby, come on. I always get the last word in my house. It's yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Who's your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? You know, sometimes we look around, we got friends at Starbucks. You always got your Starbucks or your Pete's. I prefer Pete's sometimes, but my wife says it's a little strong. But who's your neighbor? It's usually the people that we think we hang out with, but anybody is our neighbor. Once we come into the body of Christ, God gave us this wonderful person. He gave us Jesus. In the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to use the book of Acts today. I'll be using chapter 1, verse 8. And I'm going to talk about who's your neighbor. Let's look at chapter 1, verse. I'm going to use verse 6 and 8. I'm sorry, I told them chapter 8. But it says, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the time or the season the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power. Everybody say power. Come on, you can talk. Power. Power. Dunamis. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Now, Jesus had been with them for 40 days now, and he's given them his final orders. He's getting ready to go. And he says, you will receive power. The answer to their question, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Will you restore the kingdom? The answer was yes, but it was in a different way. They were under bondage of the Romans, and they thought that the kingdom would be destroyed, would be restored to them by taking it by force. But John said that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. It's not the type of force that we know about. It's not the type of force that we've seen where somebody takes from somebody. He begins to minister to them and tell them, did you notice what Jesus said? He said, you will be my witness. He did not say, you will witness. Did you get that? He didn't say, you're going to witness to this person. You're going to follow four spiritual laws and you're going to read the book and hand it to them and say, here you go. Hope you find Jesus. And then we put a little mark on our little board and say, hey, I did okay. I told them about Jesus, but he did not say that. The difference is in the do and the be. He says, he didn't say we were going to do. He said we were going to be. We are human beings, not human doings. Amen? We are not human doings. We are human beings. We have a being, and that being that lives in us is the presence and power of Jesus Christ. The word witness, I was studying this, and when I found out the word witness actually meant martyr. Come on, sign up. we're receiving martyrs today. Would you sign up? No, I don't think so. So I'm going to ask you a question. What's your Jerusalem? You say, Ray, he's talking about Jerusalem, he's talking about Samaria, he's talking about Judea, he's talking about the utter ends of the earth, and that was applicable for them. But what is it for me? What does it mean for me? Well, let's see what my Jerusalem is. What is your Jerusalem? Your Jerusalem is your home and your family. Your wife, your children, and your relatives. Where you live. He says, you're going to be my witness. You will be a witness right where you live. The place where we witness best is with the people that we live with and the people that we love. Why? Because they know us best. Amen? See that lady there? I've been married. Not that lady there, but that lady over there, my wife. Sorry, ma'am. I've been married to her for 40 years, and she knows me better than anybody. Not better than Jesus, but she knows me better than anybody. She seen me sitting over there, and she gave me the eye. Not that eye, but gave me the eye. Gentlemen, those are, how many married folks we got here today? Gentlemen, now listen to the brother. The brothers, raise your hand. How many married brothers? Okay, yeah, if you had the women. Okay, you know the eye, right? Yeah, you do. Because you say something or do something, and they're like, and you know the eye. She knows me better than anybody. And she gave me the eye that said, it's okay. Because I'm sitting in this corner, and I think, I'm saying, you know what? I really need to calm down, so I'm going to go drink some coffee. And she looks at me and says, it's okay. Because really, I'm actually, when I was a young boy growing up, I was a very, very shy person. My wife says, you are never shy. I said, I was shy. I was a very shy person. But he says here that I'm going to be a witness in Jerusalem to my family. My family needs to see me as a man of God walk in the presence and power of Jesus Christ. My family needs to see me, the man standing there or sitting there reading the word of God. My children need to see, well, my dad's a believer. I need to first be a witness to the people that I live with, the people that I love. It's wonderful these days, you know, everybody, how many Warrior fans we got here today? Okay, all right, yeah. How many new Warrior fans we got here today? You can tell by the new shirt, huh? Yeah, but you see, and everybody loves Mr. Curry, the way he can shoot those baskets, the way he can shoot from threes all the way back, and they got all these videos showing Mr. Curry, and some people have made them their idol, Mr. Curry. But I want to tell you what, when times get bad and your family needs to see somebody, gentlemen, I'm just speaking to the brothers and the sisters, they're not going to call Mr. Curry. When your children are going through a dilemma, they got to make a decision in life, they're not going to call Mr. Curry. They're going to call you. And I want to be the man of God. I want to be that man in my house that is a witness to my children. You know, I didn't lose my dad. My dad passed about 4 months ago. And Bill had the opportunity of meeting my father. My father is an awesome man. I don't say was because you just make a transformation. You just go into another place. We always say that he didn't disappear or leave. He's in big church today. So those of you that your relatives have passed, they're in big church today. We are surrounded, the Bible says, with such a great cloud of witnesses. Everywhere in heaven, they're celebrating. They're celebrating God. And my dad was somebody that always pointed me to Jesus Christ. He was a witness for Christ. On his deathbed, his last words that came out of his mouth, he laid his hands on me and he says, Father, bless my son. I received the blessing from my father. And Jesus says, be a witness to your children, to your wives. Gentlemen, I'm just speaking to the gentlemen. We started our church in a house of about 4, 5, 6 people, something like that. We've grown out of the house. We're in a community center now. But it basically started out of a men's Bible study that started at a Starbucks. Kind of like your church started at a house, right? It started out of a house. We started in a Bible study at Starbucks. And most of the people that I would minister to all the time were all men. It was a men's Bible study. And we would talk about the disciplines of a godly man. The disciplines of a godly man. And I would say, you know what? This is a way we need to witness and be a witness for our wives. I always tell the brothers of the church, I said, I want to see what you have highlighted in your Bible. When it gets to the book of Ephesians, at our church, we're going through the book of Ephesians right now. If you have highlighted in your Bible, and you're a married man, if you have highlighted in your Bible, wives submit, we need to have coffee. We need to go have some coffee. But if you have highlighted in your Bible, love your wife as Christ loved the church, now we're talking. Be a witness in your own home. This is your Jerusalem. What's your Judea? Your church is so awesome. You came to our fellowship, your brothers and your sisters, and you ministered to us. Your Judea is your community. Your Judea are those people that are asleep right now on the other side of the road. It's your community. So how do I affect my community? Now, remember what Jesus said, you're going to be a witness, not witness. You affect your community by getting involved. And I'm sure a lot of you are. You're involved in some of the community work around here. You're involved maybe in the rescue missions or maybe in the church, or not in the church. Yeah, you're involved in the church, or just doing some work for some of the people that can't do it. So those that are shut-ins. Your community is your Judea. What is your Samaria? The thing about Samaria is the Samaritans were a mixed race. And the Jews hated the Samaritans. They didn't dislike them, they hated them. And if a Jew, you probably know this story, if somebody had to go to Jerusalem and Samaria was kind of right in the middle, they would go all the way around in order not to go through. But it's amazing, when Jesus came, he's walking with his disciples. I like to call them the Dirty Dozen. He's walking with his disciples, and he tells them, I love the King James, he says, we must needs go through Samaria. Jesus knew there was a purpose for going through Samaria. It's not to reach the men of Samaria. It was not to reach the children of Samaria. It wasn't even to reach the women of Samaria. It was to reach one woman. This woman would come to the well, and that's where we got part of where we got our name from. You need to know what the well stands for. Our church, the well, stands for a worshiping church, an evangelistic church, a learning church, and a loving church. So our mission statement is in our name. And this woman would come to the well at noonday, the hottest time of the day. And the reason she wouldn't go during regular hours when all the other women would come to get the water was because she was the talk of the town. She was the woman that she was that girl. So she decided, I don't need to do all this stuff and deal with these people that way. I'll go when nobody's there. The Bible says that Jesus said, I need to go through Samaria. And he begins to minister to her. And he says, woman, give me a drink of water, as he's sitting on the well. And she says, what you talking about, Willis? No, he doesn't say that. She says, you being a Jew, you ask me for a drink of water? He says, woman, which was actually a sign of respect, woman, if you knew who asked you for a drink, you'd ask me for a drink. And they dialogue a little while, and he says, go get your husband. She says, I don't have any husband. He says, you're right. And it's funny how sometimes your perspective can change when somebody tells you the truth, because she's been talking to him a certain way, and she says, Jesus says, that's right, you don't have a husband because you've had five. And the one you live with is not yours. And all of a sudden she says, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Go get him. And you see, Jesus has a plan. Jesus has a plan. Jesus strategically sent Bill into the barbershop when Ron was on vacation. And he finally got a good haircut. That's not going to be on tape, is it? You know, you go to a barbershop, you ask somebody, do I need a haircut? It's always yes. You can have three hairs on your head. Yes, you need a haircut, sir. He strategically sent Bill into the barbershop so that one day I would stand here and minister to you, and your grace, the grace that God had given you, minister to us. It's the body. And Jesus picks this one woman. She says, go and get him. And she goes to who? Who does she know? She knows everybody in the village. She knows everybody. She's that girl. So she goes first to who? Not to the ladies. She goes first to the fellas. She says, come and meet a man that told me everything I've ever done. And what do the boys say? What are you talking about? Everything? Wait a minute. I'm on that everything list. That gets your attention, doesn't it? Oh, wait a minute. And they come out. And the Bible says later on in the book of Acts, revival breaks loose in Samaria. What's your Samaria? Samaria is giving back to those who can't give you anything. They can't give anything to you. There's nothing that they can offer to you. There's nothing that they can say, well, here's this. They can't give you anything back, but yet you minister the grace and the love of God to them. You say, here. Why? Just because God loves me and I'm going to love you. They can't give it back to you. We have a gentleman at our, well, in the local area. His name is Maurice. And we call him Maurice, and he is. This is nothing derogatory toward Maurice. He knows he is. His name is Maurice Thewino. And Maurice won't go to church, but I'll give him donuts and I'll invite him. And I know Maurice can't give anything back to me. I don't want his paper bag that he carries his alcohol in. I don't want the clothes that smell terribly of urine. I don't want those things back from. I just want to be Jesus to Maurice. Because one day, Maurice may make a decision for Christ. Samaria is giving back to those who can't give anything back to you. Y'all okay? All right, let me know. It's okay. You're like, breathe, breathe. The ends of the earth. He says the ends. What are the ends of the earth? It's wherever I go. Wherever I go. Wherever you go. Even when you're driving on the freeway. Oh, man, Ray, why you talk about that? Even when you're driving in rush hour traffic and every light is red. You ever get that anointing, the red light anointing? Every light, and you got to be there 10 minutes ago. But you're still a witness to the person right next to you on the car. You know, there's a story about a little old lady. She got pulled over by the officers. Cops pulled her over. Cop comes out, puts a gun in her face. Get out of the car. She gets out of the car. And she gets out. Put your hands on the hood. And he starts calling back to the back and seeing the license plate. And he calls back and, okay. He comes to the little old lady and he says, ma'am, you're free to go. She says, well, excuse me, officer, why did you pull me over? Well, ma'am, I was driving in back of you and I noticed your bumper sticker here. You had that little fish, little ichthus there. And you had Jesus as my co-pilot right there. And you even had a little, group of fishes. So I thought for sure, the way you were driving, this was a stolen car. Wherever you, sorry. That's just my flavor. You're lucky I didn't tell you the headless joke. Anyway, my wife is, no, don't do that. Now you're going to ask me for it. Anyway, wherever you go, you're a witness. You are a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I just looked at the clock. How much time do I got? Okay, just get the hook if I, okay. Wherever you go, I had the opportunity last week. There's a cleaning lady that cleans the hotel, the building where we're at, the presidential hotel. Used to be the presidential hotel, but now it's like studios and apartments and stuff. And she cleans that area, and she comes in. She also cleans the shop. And I've seen her in passing, back and forth, you know. And I was gone for a couple of days after my dad had passed. And I found out that her husband, or her son was getting ready to graduate from college, and he had come home, and on the way home, him and his girlfriend, he was tired, so he let his girlfriend drive. And on the way home, the girlfriend fell asleep, and they crashed, and the young man was killed. He was gonna graduate with honors, and he's actually graduating early. And when I came back to work, they told me the story, and I seen her in the hallway, and she speaks Spanish, and I speak it to be able to order and a little better than that, but I can speak it, I can understand. And I went and gave her my condolences, and I shared with her about that, how my father, I understand your pain because my father had just passed. And we go forward to last week, Mother's Day has just passed. And I walk out there and I'm getting some towels from the closet where we have our towels, and she's there and she says, "How are you?" And I said, "I'm fine." I said, "How are you?" And this woman, when I said that, she broke into tears. She says, "I can't stop thinking about my son." She's telling me this in Spanish. "I can't stop thinking about my son. I wait for the phone to ring, but I know he's never gonna call. I know that he's with the Lord, but I don't wanna live." She's telling me this. We're in the hallway. She says, "I don't wanna live. I don't wanna live." I said, "Do you have any other children?" She says, "I have one, but I don't want to live." And as I was talking to her, she began to weep, and I reached out and I held her. And I'm not, this isn't no pat on the back for Pastor Ray. I was just there. You know, the thing about God using you is not because you have the ability, it's availability. Just because you're there. I figured, I read in the Old Testament that God used a donkey, so he can use me. And I hugged her and she wept in my arms. And I told her, "Would it be okay if I prayed for you?" And I began to pray for her. And I began to minister grace. I began to be the conduit that God would use to minister to a woman with a broken heart who no longer wants to live. And I began to share God and began to share the grace of God, that he knows the pain. I said, "You thought you lost a son? Your son is in the presence of God, yes. But you think God doesn't know what it's like to lose a son? He knows very well what it's like to lose a son." And I prayed for her. She wept a little while. And then I went back to work and she went back to cleaning. I seen her Friday before I left work. And she says, in Spanish, she says, "Señor, señor." She says, "I'm so much better. After you prayed, something happened." Used to be an old song they used to sing. "He touched me. Jesus touched me." Oh, man. And right there in that place, God touched this woman. And not because it was Pastor Ray. It was Ray the barber just being available. Wherever you go, you are to be a witness for Jesus Christ. So, Pastor, you're telling me to be a witness, and you've given me how to do it and what I'm supposed to do, but what about the how? You ever get instructions where they tell you, "Well, just do this, this, and this," and you that's why YouTube's so outstanding. I don't know how to do it, and I'm like, you know, they make me look like I know a lot of stuff, and I don't. I'm like, hey, I just followed the instructions. So you've given us all this stuff. How do we do it? How do I become this witness? Well, I'm here to tell you. This is how it happens. Here's what you do. Number one, what's your story? What's your story? Every single person, how many believers do we have here today? All right. So every single person in this place has a story. You got a story. Well, my story, you know, Pastor Ray, my story is not like yours, and my story is not about, you know, I was, you know what? Some people tell me, I was good, and I didn't do anything, you know. And one lady, they asked, they said, well, what was your life like before you came to Jesus? She said, well, you know, my life was good, and Jesus was just kind of like the icing on the cake. And my friend told her, he said, no, ma'am, it was not like the icing on the cake. We were all headed for hell. We were all headed for hell, no matter how bad we are. Here's what you do. Number one, where was I? Where were you when Jesus found you? Where were you? What happened? Where am I now? I did 6 years in the United States Marine Corps. And I graduated with a BA, bad attitude. I had been drinking since I was 12. And I went to the Marine Corps and honed my skills. I learned three things. I learned how to drink better, I learned how to mop, and I learned how to shoot people at 500 yards. That's not funny. I was mean, lean, and green. I had married my wife at 19 years old. When my son turned 19, I looked at him and said, I must have been crazy. She was right out of high school and we were married. We got married and it was wild. I mean, I was just this crazy Marine. I got out of the Marine Corps and continued to hone my skills and drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. I was a drunk. People said, did you use drugs? Did you have a drug problem? I did not have a drug problem because I could do drugs with no problem. No problem whatsoever. My sister came to the Lord and they got saved. I'm like, what? You got saved from what? Playing baseball? Safe? I was mean. My brother-in-law and I were best friends and we would party all the time together. He was the biggest one of the biggest drug dealers in San Jose. And he comes to know Jesus Christ. And I would be angry because he got saved. He got saved. And I would look at this picture of him smiling. And this man never smiled. And I look at this picture and he's smiling. He's smiling. And I'm like, what's he laughing about? And I would drink. I would drink. And one day they invited me to church. That's why I'm big on Bible studies. It was a Bible study. My sister said, come on, come to the Bible study. I said, no, I'm not going to go to the Bible study. She kept on. I said, okay, I'm going to go. You never know who's going to show up at your Bible study. It may be a Ray or it may be a James. I heard about your story, brother. We are kindred spirits. And I showed up at the Bible study. My sister's 8 months pregnant. And they start talking about Jesus and how your life can change. I'm like, I don't know. And I start asking all these questions. And then they say, stand up. He says, now, Let's all just pray. And, you know, Christians get used to praying, but non-Christians are pretty uncomfortable with that sometimes. And they say, I said, okay. So we stand next to each other, and I'm standing with one fella here. My sister's over here, and he says, now let's hold hands. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. No. Marines don't hold hands. Marines don't hold hands. And my sister say, hold his hand. I'm not going to hold his hand. Hold his hand. I'm like, no. She's my younger sister. She had a lot of. I said, okay. And I grab his hand and I squeeze it. I'm like, I'm watching you, bro. I said, okay, I can handle this. And then he says, now close your eyes. I'm like, oh my God. What have I gotten into? What did you invite me to? She says, close your eyes. I'm not going to close my eyes. Here I am in a strange place. I don't know. You got me holding a man's hand, and now you want me to close my eyes. Come on now. This is not the places I know. So I hold his hand. I close this eye. Marines always got to be ready. And then the fellow that's leading the Bible study says, now, I can try to explain God to you. He says, but why don't you ask him to make himself real to you? And I said, what? Just ask him. And I found out what it was now that I've learned. It was what my Kairos moment. It was my moment with God. It was my moment with God. And at that moment, I said, God, in my head, I said, God, my life is destroyed. I'm a drunk. I'm on the verge of divorce. I got 3 babies and I don't even want to live anymore. If you can help me, help me, God. And I don't know what happened, Bill. I don't know what happened. But the next minute, something came over me and I realized it was the liquid love of God. And my heart began to change. And all of a sudden, I didn't care if I was holding a man's hand. I didn't care. And my life began to change. And all of a sudden, I realized who this God was that I've always heard and I've always used his name to cuss with. All of a sudden, who he was, that he loved me and he wasn't upset with me. And I went home a new man. And I walked through the door and I told my wife, hey, I got saved. And she says, oh, God. I had put it through every change. I was the urban cowboy and I drove an Opel. So I every change, I wore angel flights when they were in. Members only. I'm still looking for the club. I had a members only jacket. There was no club. And 6 months later, she gave her life to Christ. That's how you tell your story. You see, your story means something to you. Your story is your story. Your story is actually His story. His story of redemption in your life. Every church has been given, how much time I got? Okay. Every church has been given marching orders. In the Marine Corps, every person, every Marine in the Marine Corps was a basic rifleman. That means that every Marine had to learn how to shoot and you had to learn combat skills. And every Marine took their training seriously. You may have been a cook later on, but you were going to be a basic rifleman. That meant that if anything ever went down, you knew what to do because you'd been trained. And I believe, just like the Marine Corps, every church has been given basic marching orders. We've all been given the same orders. You may not have been called to be an evangelist, but you have been called to evangelize. And our job is the same job. We are on the east side of San Jose and you are in Cupertino, and we are brothers and sisters working together in the kingdom for the glory of God. That's who we are. That's who we are. I stand with you, you stand with me, and all of us stand with Jesus Christ. And He, the elder brother, goes before us and says, I look at them and I'm honored and I'm pleased. I am well pleased. You remember the voice that came down when Jesus was being baptized? He says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. That's the same thing He says to you. That's the same exact thing He says to you. Our mission is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to pack heaven. That's our mission. God has been gracious to us. We got up this morning. We combed our hair or hairs. We put on our makeup and our blush, hopefully just the ladies. And He's been gracious to us. And we are witnesses for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. The Lord bless you. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Amen.